Hello and welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and in today's episode, I'm speaking with high performance coach Mark Gray. Mark and I speak about the importance of small actions when it comes to becoming a high performer, how to build a pain-free powerhouse, and a body you can call an asset. I hope you enjoy the episode, and please, if you like the show, subscribe and give us a rating or take a screenshot and share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much, and as always, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes for more details. Now on to my conversation with Mark. Mark Gray, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lisa. And just like we were saying pre-recording, happy to share some sort of wisdom with your listeners. So excited to get stuck in.
Same here. And yeah, what would be the number one thing you're excited for them to take away from our conversation today?
Well, as you know, your listeners won't know, but I do a lot of, it's kind of a buzzword, like high performance with clients and with myself. That's what I like to focus on. So if I can give your listeners just one or two things that they can then go away with to just make life that little bit easier so that they can perform better, either in the gym, at home, in the office, wherever it is, then I'll know I've done a somewhat good job. So, yeah, if
amazing.
I can give some actionable tips that people can use, then we'll have done our job.
I love that. And it aligns very well with what I believe is somewhat your mission of building a body you can call an asset, or just generally transforming into a pain-free powerhouse. I love those mission statements that you have there. So why don't you tell us how you got into high-performance coaching?
Yeah, well, I have been a coach since 2016. Now, I didn't get into coaching to do high performance, I got into the gym, or I got into coaching just to help people do the usual, lose some weight, get a bit stronger, feel better about themselves. And then as I got more and more involved in my training myself, and I realized that it just wasn't about how you looked in the gym and in a pair of shorts on the beach. There was much more to life and how you felt. And then I just got a bit more infatuated with how I performed in the gym, how I performed out of the gym, how I was sleeping, what I was eating, and just overall trying to feel as good as I possibly could. So then I could perform and just be the best version of myself when I was at home, when I'm out running, when I'm just doing whatever it is. So I just wanted to help myself first. And then as I was with clients, I was like, do you know what? There's a lot of people out there that are kind of running on, I was going to say second gear, but maybe even like first gear. And they never really, they never truly get to experience life as it's meant to be experienced. I'm quite big on that. I spoke about it a few weeks ago on a post of mine on some content about how a lot of people just never get to experience life fully because they're always either hurt or they're overweight or out of shape, or they're just sleep deprived and all these sorts of things. And it's just a bit, I would say it's unfair, but you make your own bed, you got to sleep in it. But just some people don't realize the error of their ways, or they don't know that there's like something else there for them that they could have because they're just so used to what they do have. So yeah, to answer your question in a roundabout way, I helped myself first and then I wanted to help other people as well.
Wonderful. I think those are usually the best coaches, because we speak from experience when we have had our own issues and struggles as well. And what you're saying it rings so true to me. I think the issue that a lot of people often run into is in the moment, we don't notice how many of our small habits add up. And in the moment, like initially, let's just say someone with 18, 19 years old has a bad posture and is like a programmer or a coder or whatever. And the first few years, they probably don't even notice that they might accumulate tension in the neck and a bad posture later on, like that manifests even when they're standing, even when they're doing whatever else. And then they're like fast forward 10 years, 20 years, and all these every single little day, bad posture moments have added up along with maybe poor sleep and so on. And then one day they wake up and it's like, Shit, what happened? I have horrible posture. I have forward neck. Everything hurts. And you just think, I never had that before, or why is this bothering me now? And you think from one moment to another, now how can I change this? But it goes so deep because, of course, it's physiologically our body has already learned these behavior patterns or these postures. It's mental as well because you almost don't know how to get out of it anymore. And we can't be fully conscious of our posture and what we're doing 24/7 all the time. Most of the time we're on autopilot. So how and where do we interfere there? And that's where you thankfully come into play, because you want to break those patterns. And I believe many of the people that come to you out of pain. They say they have lower back pain. They say they're, not sleeping all that well, and so on. So where and how do you start with your clients?
So, where do I start? The first thing is just to get a very, very, very clear understanding of where that individual is, what they struggle with, what they're good at as well. So it's always good to play to someone's strengths. But it's just getting a very, very clear picture of what that person's life at the moment entails. Because one of the issues with health and fitness and just coaching in general is using that blanket kind of approach with people. And we've all used that one size fits all approach, cookie cutter phrase that gets thrown around. But it's steering away from that. And you do that by just getting a clear picture of that person. Everyone is different. You need to approach them with that mindset and that individualistic approach. So you got to paint the picture. How then can you help that person? Depends on what they're willing to do in that moment. I meet a lot of people and they have all the motivation in the world and all the good intentions. But that's because usually they've got that motivation and they pick up the phone, book in a call, or just come chat to me in a gym, whatever it is. And then that motivation will die away within even like a week, 2 weeks. So it's finding things that that person can do then on a consistent basis. And one of the issues that people run into is when they first start out is trying to do too much too soon. So when I get people in, the last thing, and I've been guilty of doing it before, especially when I moved online, because I've got access to all these resources and I've got a big library of content and an education lab for my clients. I've got it all built up. So when I first started, I was a bit guilty of giving people too much too soon because it was what I deemed to be the right thing. And that can work for a handful of people. But then for their handful of people, it doesn't work. I've had people get too overwhelmed and be like, Mark, this shit's a lot. I need to step back a little bit. Is that cool? Let me refine it. So it is, as much as I like to automate things, and I've got quite a bit of automation in my program, my coaching, is you do need to approach people with that just one person or everyone is individual. Because if you overwhelm someone, you stress them out, and then the last thing they want to do is follow through with the stuff you've given them. And then they just get that bit of a distaste and they get those feelings that they've had before with health and fitness again. And it's like, oh, this is really hard. I'm not enjoying this. I'm stressed. I'm not supposed to be stressed. This is supposed to remove my stress. It's like, this isn't a good thing. So yeah, I get very, very clear on what that person can do and what they can't do. As in, if somebody is traveling twice a week, I've got clients that travel pretty much every week, and I'm like, you need to go to the gym, into the gym 4 days a week. That just isn't going to work for some people. So they need something that is just completely tailored to them and something that is fluid, is adaptable, it can move with their life. But yeah, you need to get just very, very, very clear on what someone can and can't do when they start their health and fitness journey. For me, that's just the most important thing. And just keep it extremely simple at the start. And that's what I do with my clients.
I love it. Yeah, I absolutely love your individualized approach. And you hit on several pointers there. First of all, you mentioned consistency and it having to be something people can be consistent with. And the listeners will know that that's, yeah, one of my favorite words altogether, because without consistency, the best plan in the world is not going to help. And the other thing that you mentioned was giving too much too soon. I'm just as guilty as you of that in the beginning, too. And I think a lot of newer coaches generally tend to do that because you want to demonstrate how much you know, and you think of the ideal plan, and you want to just give them everything. But yeah, as you said, then if you create that overwhelm and actually it backfires, and then they're getting a bad taste for the approach, and they say it doesn't work, quote unquote, it's not good. So one thing at a time is so much better. So if someone's listening to this and they're like, cool, well, I have a busy life. I do recognize now that I need to change something. I have back pain, and I feel like it's affecting my life in every area. It's affecting my home life. It's affecting how I show up at work. What are some actionable tips for people to incorporate or to change in their daily lives, to just feel better?
Cool. So if I was just gonna, if we were going to use the example of somebody with some sort of injury, like lower back pain, knee pain, shoulder pain, whatever it is, but not even if you don't have to have any sort of pain at all with this, but kind of goes back to what I said a minute ago, is you need to get very honest on what you can do, so what you can currently commit to. You also then the opposite of that is be honest with what you can't do, because if you're like, right, someone has told me I need to do three workouts a week. I need to sleep 8 hours a night. I need to prep all my meals. I need to walk 12,000 steps. I need to do breath work once a day. I need to journal. I need to do X, Y, and Z. Like for most people, that's enough to make your head explode, especially starting off. So just be honest. Be honest with yourself and realize that something is better than nothing. I work with mostly entrepreneurs. And they've got that mindset of just has to be all of this or has to be nothing. And that's because they've done that, that works quite well in their business sense a lot of times, hasn't it? They've just been so ruthless and it's been just go, 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 go. And they've had great success. You use that with your health and fitness, that same approach, and it will destroy you. You might get 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks of progress, but then when you can't get your four workouts a week or you can't get those three perfect meals in a day, and you can't get your 10,000 steps, whatever it is, you fall off the wagon once, and then for a lot of people, it's hard to get back on. So yeah, get clear on what you can, and then what you can't do, and then just make it super easy. I would say make it that easy that it feels like it's not going to do much, as in like if you can only do 10 minutes of a workout 3 times a week, just do that. Because if you're extremely busy and you're just slamming the office 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, whatever it is, or you've got a busy family, maybe you're in a startup and you're trying to build a new business, and you are actually just genuinely like really tight for time, start super small. Start with 10, 15 minutes, because in 6 months, you'd be surprised that that 10 minutes is miraculously turned into 1 hour, 3 days a week. But you need to start off with that little small chunk first in order to get to that big one. And that's because you start to prioritize things, and you prioritize it when you value it. And then you just find time for it. All of a sudden, that extra 45 minutes on your lunch where you're scrolling your phone, you're like, actually, I'm going to go for a run, or I'm going to do 30 minutes in the gym. But that takes time. That doesn't happen overnight. That's why I say get clear on what you can and can't do, because your brain, you might be thinking social media has told you have to do an hour. But if you don't have the motivate or the discipline or the desire or the motivation to do that at the moment, then don't kid yourself that you're going to do it, because you'll try and do it, you get disheartened when you can't do it, and then you give up, and then you'll go out of the game for 6 months, you'll come back and do that cycle again. Because I've seen it so many times, that perpetual cycle of just try, fail, try, fail, try, fail. It's what people do a lot with their diets. They're on a diet for 6 weeks. They fall off the wagon for 6 months, come back on for 6 weeks, fall off again, and do that for like 10, 15, 20 years, or their entire life, unfortunately, for some people.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
Really, really a good point. I love the idea of just doing something small but consistently. And I think more than anything, it builds self-confidence and hey, I can do this. Hey, I can do this long term, because subconsciously so many people do carry those limiting beliefs around with them where they're like, oh, I can never be more consistent than for 6 weeks at a time, or when things get busy, I can like I always mess up. And if we hear that sort of limiting talk, we're like, oh, okay, let's break that. But if you notice that even in your busiest days, you're able to make those 10 minutes a priority, you're building that confidence. And hey, I actually have the ability to be consistent with this. And then that automatically usually transfers over into other areas such as nutrition, such as hey, I can read a page a day every single day or so. And yeah, one or several things of your content that I love so much is how practical it also seems for, like you said, entrepreneurs, but anybody who is busy working away. So one thing that one thing is the benefits of standing that you love to talk about so much, and you stretching as well. And those are things where people at first, I'm sure if they hear them, they're like, how's that going to make a big difference? Like my 1 hour workout per day, that is obviously making a much bigger difference, because at the end of it, you're sweating. Or if you're being very disciplined with your food, weighing things out, that's obviously going to make a big difference also. But it's those little things. So, yeah, tell me about what your recommendations are with regards to standing more and why you're so passionate about that.
Yeah, well, I'm currently sat, but this is a standing desk. You'll see that through my content. If you're on LinkedIn, you'll see all my standing desk videos. But what I would say to that is, if someone is listening and they just sit predominantly and they do have that mindset of, "Oh, standing at my desk isn't going to do much because I'm just standing there," I would just challenge you to stand for an hour. Just stand at your desk or at desk for 1 hour and see how long you can last. Because I guarantee you, you won't stand up for 60 minutes. You'll find that maybe after 20, 10 minutes, you start getting a bit restless in your legs. After like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, your mind will say, "Sit down, sit down, sit down. I really want to sit down." And then you probably will sit down. And that's half the challenge. And to me anyway, is when we do, now I'm going to use the word hard things, but standing at your desk for some people actually can be quite challenging. Because if you're just a predominantly sedentary individual, you sit at your desk for 40 hours a week. If you're going to stand for half that, or at least a quarter of that is going to be quite challenging for most people. But yeah, I say the term hard things, do hard things, because it just makes you a better person. When you do those harder things, you become a stronger individual, not just physically, but mentally as well. So if someone is able to stand there and just stand at their desk for an hour, and then sit for an hour, stand for an hour, and just get really good at being consistent, at consistently challenging yourself and doing hard things, such as just standing at your desk. That translates over into other elements of your life, whether people like it or people realize it or not. Like subconsciously, then that is going to have a positive impact on your nutrition, on your sleep, on your workouts, on your other health-related habits. Even though you're not going to be thinking when you're stood up, "Oh, this is, I'm going to eat healthier now. I'm going to go smash my workout." You're doing something that is harder than the easy thing, which would just be sitting on your butt and taking the easy way out. So that's one of the reasons why I suggest it a lot as well. It's just better for you as well. Like, just, we're not supposed to be sat down. There's a book behind me. Where is it? This one called Desk Bound. I think, what does it say on the front? Standing. No, yeah, so it pretty much says in there somewhere. It's quite an old book about like standing being like the new smoking. Sitting sitting being the new smoking. And it's true, because we weren't designed to sit in our butt all day. We're designed to run, jump, like chase, like wildebeest, whatever it is. That's what we were designed to do. We're not designed to sit down. And when we do that for long enough, our body gets preconditioned to that. And even though I say it all the time, or I said it in a piece of content a few days ago, about like, you actually have to be, believe it or not, you have to be strong enough to sit, which sounds like a bit of a stupid thing to say, because we can all sit down, we all do it. But If you have a very weak body and you just put it in a very static, stationary position all the time, it gets used to those positions. So then when we go to do something else that isn't that, like we go to the gym and we try to push a weight above our head, what happens? You pull your back out and your shoulder gets hurt. Or, which I've seen numerous times or heard from either clients or just people in the gym in general, is people picking up the dog poop and their back goes.
Way.
Like, and you ask them, what do you do for a job? Oh, I spend 50 hours on my desk. There we go. So yeah, it's that's the reason why I'm quite
I
like avid on that.
absolutely love it, and I mean, I couldn't agree more. The issue, of course, is also that it's usually compromised positions that we're sitting in. Not everyone is sitting on an ergonomic chair all the time. You know, you're leaning to one side, and you're just forgetting about even being conscious of your posture. I also like what you said about it helping with mental strength. Just a personal small story here. A few weeks ago, I embraced doing cold plunging exactly for that reason. I mean, yes, so you can argue about the physiological benefits as well. And I will say, I absolutely hate the cold. I despise the cold. Like you, I live in a warm place, and that's for a reason. And so I was purposely trying to think of things that I absolutely hate, and cold plunging was one thing. And I have loved seeing my mental strength grow throughout that time, because the first time I went in, I lasted 90 seconds, and by now I'm up to 10 minutes. And so it's honestly, I'm quite proud of that. And I noticed the mental benefits for the rest of the day, and even carrying into the next day more than anything. The other thing that I love about going back to the standing, that I love about standing, and where there is actually more research coming out about that as well, is that especially post meals, any kind of movement or anything that's not sitting down is going to help with our blood glucose regulation. And so even standing, I mean, a 10-minute walk would be ideal if after our meals we'd go for a 10-minute walk, but a lot of people, I get that they're so in their workflow, or maybe they are at an office and they don't want to leave the office. Even standing is going to have a much better effect on your blood sugar regulation than if you sat back down. So I totally agree with you. If someone's listening out there and they have a standing desk, but they hardly ever use it, or if they do, it's not after their meals, maybe now incorporating that for a little bit longer after the meals, could be something that they give a go.
Yes, that's awesome. And yeah, I'm a big fan of just getting up and moving after you eat. Like, just
Yes.
the benefits to digestion just alone is awesome. But
Absolutely.
yeah.
Yeah, and you are also very passionate about sharing stretches and in general mobility work. And that's something else that a lot of people, especially people that are passionate about strength training like you, don't often talk about that much. And so I think it's really great that you really highlight how much of a difference that can make as well. So in what areas of the body do you feel like stretches are most necessary, or which areas are most neglected these days? And of course, not everyone is going to be watching this, but maybe you can tell us about some specific stretches that you love.
Let me see. Well, if we're talking about people, just people in general, but the two most problematic areas by far would be this area here. So shoulders, pecs and lats, that kind of shoulder complex, because it just gets so glued up. And I mean glued up as in just everything gets stuck and just doesn't move. I know that for a fact because I've had issues with my shoulder before in the past for way too long. Just overuse and sports just messed up my whole right side of my body, which I've pretty much worked through, but yeah, it's not amazing. So shoulder for sure. And then if you sit down at a desk for a big chunk of your week, and just most people in general, is your hips are going to get chronically tight. And that's just because you're sat in that position, your hip flexors are supposed to be nice and long, and it just gets shrunk up, which is a recipe for disaster then when you go and try to do other activities such as running and just any sort of stuff in the gym. And that's why running, for instance, just causes a lot of people a lot of aggro, is because they spend most of their week sat down, they're a little bit overweight maybe, and then they go to run because it's really ex easily accessible thing to do. They run for 10, 15 minutes with these really, really short hip flexors, and bang, they pop a hip, or their knee gets hurt because it's compensated, or their ankle goes. So yeah, hips are a big one. If you can do your hips, if someone can stretch their hips for like 2 or 3 minutes a day, do the same for their shoulders, they're going to feel a million times better. And that's why I share that stuff on through my content on LinkedIn, is just giving people just little small snippets of things they can do. None of it's saying you need to be there for 5, 10 minutes holding a pose and any of that stuff. You get the longer you hold a stretch, the better. I reckon if you hold a stretch for like 2 minutes plus, that's when you start to see like actual positive change in the muscle, like long-term change if you consistently do that. But if someone can stretch at the desk for 30 seconds and do that a few times a day, they're going to see the benefits. They won't see the benefits in one day, and they won't see in a week. What we spoke about earlier on, it's that compounding effect over weeks and weeks and months and months. But yeah, shoulders. If you shoulders are definitely the one that cause most people problems. And that's because it's the most mobile joint in the body. Well, it's supposed to be for most people. And what people don't realize is that if your shoulders are all glued up and they don't move, it then has a negative impact on your neck. Which, if anybody is listening to this and they work at a desk, probably going to hedge my bets and say you've probably dealt with neck pain. I know I have. I know most people I work with have had neck pain as well. So they're all linked. So yeah, they're the 2/3 areas I would focus on the most. And just when it comes to mobility and stretching, there's, well, when it comes to any sort of aspect of health and fitness at the moment, is there's just a plethora of information. There's the new best workout, the new best nutrition plan, the new best sleeping routine, whatever it is. You'll see it with mobility and stretching. Is just don't overcomplicate things. Just if you can put your arm on a wall, hold it and twist away from yourself and you feel a stretch, cool. It doesn't have to be a name for it. Doesn't have to be anything like that. If you can stand up from your desk for 2 minutes and then just reach down towards your toes and hold that for 20 seconds, there you go, you're stretching out. Like, by all means, go onto my page and have a look, but don't overcomplicate like just moving your body and getting off your butt and being active, because that's what st just stumbles a lot of people, is that idea that if I don't know exactly what I'm doing, or if this isn't like perfect, then there's no point in me doing it. So when it comes to that sort of stuff, just do anything, like stand, and if you need your chest, whatever it is, just get off your butt and stretch for a few minutes, and you'll feel awesome. Like, it's not just the muscles you're working on itself. You spoke about earlier on about like the impact of doing the cold plunge on your mind. It's like when you get up and you move, the impact that it has on like your energy, stuff like that. You get your blood pumping, you get your endorphins going as well, which people don't realize. Like, the feeling after you've done a stretch for 2 minutes might feel a bit stiff and uncomfortable at the moment, but afterwards you feel much better. That's just because you're getting blood pumping around your body, which if you just sat like this all day, nothing moves. So yeah, shoulders and hips is my final answer.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I love it. And I love the examples that you gave. And like you said, don't overcomplicate it. People literally just thinking, where am I tight? What feels good to me? And just kind of leaning into that a little bit more. And kind of going back to what you're saying with that as well, once again, is finding things that we are able to be consistent with. And so aside from taking things in small chunks and making them manageable, what are some other tips that you have for your clients or anybody to be consistent with what they're doing? Like, are you a fan of lists, of alarms, of habit stacking, of doing things with a friend or something like that? Like, is there specific methods that you like to give people to be a bit more consistent?
Yeah, I think if I was going to give an individual some advice, it would be get accountability. That might have been like somewhat of an obvious answer, but you can have all the perfect lists and habits. You can stack your habits and you can have all the alarms on your phone and reminders and copious amounts of post-it notes everywhere. But it's just not going to do much if you don't have accountability. And that's coming from experience for myself. The last few years, I've been part of a mentorship and accountability, like a business mentorship, and accountability was a big part of that. Because even though sometimes you know what you need to do, I don't care how disciplined you are, sometimes it's just hard to implement at the level you need to implement to get to where you want to get to. And that's why like the best athletes in the world all have coaches. And it's not because like you only have to look at the best bodybuilders in the world, for instance. Guys that know literally every single exercise there is to possibly know. They know what to eat, when to eat. Like you won't get many bodybuilders, especially at the high level, that just don't know everything there is to know about like training at its fundamental, at its basics. Yet they all have coaches, and it's to help them implement. Even though without a coach, they're still going to go to the gym because they're extremely dedicated people. They need that accountability to help them eke out that extra like 5%, which is the difference between not getting on stage or getting a podium and getting a podium. It's the same as an athlete, like getting a medal and not getting a medal. Like you need that accountability. So that'd be the big one for me. If I was going to give anyone any advice, it'd be get some accountability. You can do that obviously through the most obvious way is with a coach, but that's not always the case for everyone. So you could do it through an accountability partner, or your friend. I would say steer away from a spouse, so maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend or husband and wife. It can work. It depends on what you're being accountable with, because they need to be a bit of a hard arse and they have to be able to push you. Because if you've missed your workout and they're just a bit too nice, they might not push you on as much. So I'd say steer away from a spouse when you're doing accountability, but set it up in your office or create a group with your friends or whatever it is. But an accountability partner or group is so helpful if you can't get through a coach. A coach, obviously, I'm extremely biased, in my opinion, is the best way because they could just be on your ass whenever you need it. But yeah, you can do all the habit stacking and everything else you want, but if you don't actually have someone to keep accountable to, then there's only so far you can kind of get. And some people will do amazing without it, because some people are just like the outliers. But there's a reason why you hear about them and then not the other 99 people that have tried it and failed without accountability. So
Yeah,
go with the odds.
that is absolutely true. And I mean, anybody can really benefit from any kind of coaching. I think it's such a good way to fast track to where we want to go. Like looking at the people that have already achieved what we want to achieve in any area of life. I'm totally with you, whether that's a business mastermind or anything else. And sometimes I think I'm German. I was born in Germany, lived there until I was about 19. And I've found that specifically Germans often think like I can do this on my own. I don't need any help. And I'm very much like this. Like I don't need help. I've got this. I can just do my own research. Why would I invest in to this? I can, you know, it's all the information is there. And I had to very much shift from like, yeah, of course you could, but number one, certain things are just not your passion. Of course, like for me, nutrition is my passion, but for instance, finances are really. Like, I have no natural instinct or no natural interest in finances. So maybe that's an area I need help with or so. So if someone listening is like, okay, nutrition is not something I like to preoccupy my mind with, why not hand that over to a coach and they're telling you exactly what to do? Of course, don't switch your mind off and don't be like, I just want to follow a plan and don't know, not. I don't care about knowing why we're doing this. You still need to have the understanding of why and in order to make it last. Because if you don't know why someone's giving you a method and you're like, well, I'll just do it for whatever reason. I don't know why I should be, you know, standing 7 times a day or so. It's not going to stick as well. But yeah, I think having a coach is just such a wonderful way to create a shortcut to where you want to go and also to have more mind space. for other things in life that you are excited about and that you are good at, as in the personal listening, where you can truly perform at your highest.
Yeah, no, that's bang on the money. And like I always use the example with clients, and they're talking about like maybe why they're not doing as well as they have been recently, or they're slipping up on a certain thing. And nutrition is always a big, nutrition is mainly the big one, nutrition and sleep. And when it comes to nutrition, I always use the example of like professional athletes. I'm like, the reason why professional athletes look so good and they perform so well is because, but I obviously there's loads of professional athletes. Not every professional athlete looks a certain way or what society perceive as really well. But if you're going to use like an American footballer, for instance, or a soccer player, football player, they all have private chefs. So they have a private chef that cooks every single meal for them. And if they're not with their private chef, they are in a restaurant where they're obviously used to picking a certain type of food. But that private chef cooks them exactly what they need, when they need it, and how they need it. So I go to my clients, is like, if you had a private chef in your kitchen, which some of them probably could have, but it's needs and wants, it's like if you had that, you would reach like your fat loss goal like that, or you would gain these extra few kilos of muscle you wanted like that. So that's I th that then that's to get across the point of both having or being good at delegating for one, but then having systems in place as well. Like meal prep companies are a great one as well. That's something I suggest to clients as well, is if you can't cook and you're too busy to cook, well, delegate your cooking out to someone else that can do it for you, so then you don't have to think, and then you've got brain power to use elsewhere, or you are using it elsewhere anyway. You don't have the space and brain capacity to use it on your nutrition, which is why you're 45 pounds overweight and have been for the last 15 years. So
I
put
love
your trust
point
in
of
other people.
outsourcing. Yeah, exactly. With so many other things as well, like just create more space for the things that you're good at, whether that is even grocery delivery or I guess going also to the point of, okay, if we are having a lot of like work lunches or so, we are eating out frequently because of travel, and giving the clients some good strategies as in, hey, let's just try to always order a protein and some vegetables and maybe hold off on the alcohol and the more processed carbs, especially if it's during the day and we don't want to have an energy crash. So still combining the, yes, outsource, but at the same time, understand the strategy behind it so that when you don't have a chef cooking for you or if you don't have a meal prep service, you still know how to assemble a somewhat decent plate if you have the options or so. And you mentioned the other area often being sleep, where people quote unquote slip up. So what often stands in our way, aside from let's just say Netflix or whatever, in order to get to be consistent with our sleeping patterns?
I think the big one with sleep is a lack of value with sleep. I did I actually posted a YouTube video this morning on the impact on the body of chronic sleep deprivation and what it actually does to your body. And the goal was to scare people, not use scare, but was just to remind people. Well, not remind them, because most people don't know what poor sleep actually does to your body. Vast majority of people just view sleep as something you have to do as opposed to something you need to do. And there's a massive difference between those two statements. Most people are raised thinking you go to sleep at X time and you wake up, and it's just that little period in the day where it's forgotten about. You just have to do it. You sleep and you wake up. Not knowing actually what happens when you're sleeping. Like your sleep is there not just for rest, it's for repair and recovery. And that's the most important part of it. It's not just about waking up feeling refreshed and feeling good. It's about what actually happens to your body when you're sleeping. You release the vast majority of your growth hormone when you're sleeping. And that is just imperative for obviously growth, for repairing your body. So in my experience, people that don't sleep enough, it's simply because they don't value it. The same with their ex when they're in the gym, when they're working out, is they lack and people lack consistency with the gym because they don't value what the gym could give them, what strength training can give them. The same as standing at a desk. they lack the value of what standing up could give their body. And that's how I view people's relationship with sleep, is they don't understand the value that sleep has to them and what it could bring to not just their health, but just their performance in and out of the gym, just in everyday life. And then, like, obviously, their energy, their mood, all those sorts of things are massively benefited and hugely negatively impacted by sleep, obviously, in a good way or a bad way. So you have to get crystal clear on how sleep would value you. So this most recent video I did or posted today was the opposite of that, and it was showing you what happens to your body if you don't sleep enough, and it's quite scary. You've probably seen my I know you did. You seen my post yesterday on the Chernobyl disaster in 86 and how sleep deprivation was one of the causes and how that actually happened. Same as the NASA Challenger spaceship that blew up in the 90s. I think it was the 90s. That was down to, or one of the causes of that was sleep deprivation and the people that ran the mission. So you need to get clear on what sleep can give you. So if someone then is able to value something, i.e. value their sleep, they're much more likely to prioritize it. Like, there's a reason why people say they would die for their kids, is because they valued living life out of those kids. If they didn't, they wouldn't put their life on the line for them. Now, I'm not saying you should value, you're gonna value your sleep as much as your kids. You should, because if you sleep enough, then you can be a better version of them, be a better version of you for them. But that's the sort of mindset you need to get with your sleep, is just how important it is. Because once you value it, then it'll be much easier to turn off Netflix at 10:30 and get your butt to sleep. Because if you don't, you're like, oh, I can get 6 hours, it's fine. Like,
That's
what's
exactly
next?
it. No, most people really do tend to view sleep more as like a nuisance. You're sort of like, oh, it's that break of the day that I have to take before I get to do all the other amazing stuff, as opposed to really, like you're saying, like viewing it for the restorative magic that it is able to give our body. No, very very good point. I love all your views on all these things in terms of simplicity and how we really just need to peel it back and sort of start with the basics and be consistent with them. So yeah, Mark, thank you so much for your time. It's been a true pleasure speaking with you and picking your brain a little bit. I will obviously link all your handles in the show notes, but I'm just truly grateful for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Lisa. And I absolutely blew by. That was what, 40 minutes? That
Yeah.
absolutely. It's always a good sign. It's always a good sign when they go by quickly. But yeah,
Absolutely.
hopefully your listeners are able to gain some sort of knowledge from that. And
I
like I
have.
said at the very start, take it and use it in some sort of way to just make life a little bit easier, because that's what we all want. We want a not an easy life, we want an easier life. And health and fitness can give you that easier life if you use it correctly.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Mark. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And remember, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you are looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL at the checkout. Thank you for listening.